Ksuvos Perkei Mishnah Zayin 5-7. This Mishnah discusses the topic of the Moredes, or the Mored, which I think is often misunderstood. I want to make sure it's clear before you see the Mishnah inside what's going on over here. This is a case where one of the two spouses is withholding physical intimacy and using it as a weapon. So he or she says, until I get what I want, until you say sorry, whatever it is, so then I'm refusing to be physically intimate with you. Now that is unacceptable in Jewish law, and it's considered merida. Merida means rebellion. So they're rebelling against their basic marital obligations. Now, one who fails to comply with other obligations, let's say, for example, he's refusing to feed her, providing with mazonos, or she's refusing to do the housework. So that's not called merida in this sense, and the truth is, well, it's not allowed, and ultimately the bezin would get involved. The bezin would essentially would force him to provide for her, you know, food and medical attention, etc., even if it means confiscating his money. Similarly, they'd also force her to do what she has to do in terms of her domestic responsibilities. But it's a little sensitive and sort of impracticable when it comes to this context, the merida of using, withholding physical intimacy as a weapon. The bezin isn't going to would never force a person to be intimate if they didn't, against their will. So therefore, more, I'll call it gentle coercion is used, more subtle coercion is used to resolve this issue. So the basic point of our mission is going to be that this is an unacceptable weapon, tactic, and therefore the mission will prescribe various economic penalties, financial penalties, to induce the couple to resolve matters. I want to make sure something's clear. The case is one where, let's say, she, could be he also, but where this for one of them, is refusing, not because she doesn't want to be with him, but because she wants to get her way. And as soon as he does what she wants her to do, then she'll be happily again to be together with him. That's what's sort of unacceptable and what the mission is dealing with. If, hypothetically, she would say, listen, I can't stand this man anymore. He's just repugnant to me for whatever reason, either for emotional reasons or for physical reasons. So then the mission would sort of not be talking about that case, and we would go to the end game of just divorce. That's an untenable marriage. The presumption is, well, they're not going to be able to be compatible going forward, and therefore divorce is the only option. The case of our mission here is that divorce isn't the only option. If they would just resolve their issue and agree not to use this as a weapon, so then they could have a functioning marriage again. And that being the case, so Chazal are prescribing these financial incentives or disincentives. So the Mishnah says, Hamoredes al Baala, a woman who rebels against her husband, just as I described, using withholding of physical intimacy as a weapon, then pochasin la miksubasa shiva dinarim b'shabbos. The penalty, the clock starts ticking, and for the whole time she is in the status of being a moredes, her ksuba starts getting diminished, you know? So, forgetting the math for a second, the point is, the idea is, she has, you know, 200 zuz, and therefore, she, like, a zuz a day gets deducted from her ksuba, and so therefore, as the clock ticks, she's induced to resolve this problem. And I'll deal with the actual numbers in a second. The math's a little bit involved, and I'm not that interesting, I don't think. But the point, the conceptual point here is that the clock is ticking, and therefore she's, you know, got a impetus to resolve the matter. If and when she does resolve it, so then she goes back, everything gets fully reset. So that means, let's just say hypothetically it's 200 zuz in 200 days, so if on day 190, you know, they reconcile matters, so then she gets back her full 200 zuz ksuba. It's not that she's left with just 10. And in fact, if her ksuba started out being 1,000, so she gets back the full 1,000. Okay? If it would run out to zero, and we'll see a little more about that in a moment in the Mishnah, so then that is sort of now time's up and it's time for divorce. If they would reconcile that point, so then they would need to have essentially a new ksuba drawn up, because there's no such thing as a woman being married without a ksuba, and the ksuba would have to be at least a minimum of the, it's called the 200 zuz. This is the first marriage. Can't be less than that. But she could at that point have lost. If it had been 1,000, she could lose that. Okay? So, the idea here is that it's one dinar per day, sheva dinarim per Shabbos. The way the numbers actually shake out, this is a little involved, I'm not so interested in getting into it. The dinar here works out to being one eighth of the zuz of the ksuba. The basic reason is because the denomination that the Chumash uses are Tyrian silver. It's a pure silver, and this is using like the local silver that they use there. The exchange rate essentially is 8 to 1. So that being the case, so to speak, 200 zuz ksuba would now becomes 1,600 of these dinarim. Okay, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Shiva Trapaikin. He holds that it's this other kind of coin. These coins are 4 times more silver content, so that's 4 times larger penalty per day. And that being the case, you know, instead of 1,600, I'll call it 400 days worth. Now, important to understand here is that she, as soon as she wields that weapon as a moredus, or we'll see in a minute, if he wields that weapon as a mored, so then this clock starts ticking. So what I mean by that is, for example, let's say, for example, on today she becomes a nida. And anyways, the whole thing is not relevant for the next week. But on that first day, she says, I want you to know, a week from now, nothing doing, I'm withholding unless you, whatever, say you're sorry, whatever she wants. So then the clock starts ticking at that point, meaning since she's now wielding that weapon, even though anyways she's a nida, it doesn't matter. The clock starts ticking and, you know, the count and the penalty starts working from that point. Similarly, if let's say, for example, let's say our man who's the mored here, let's say he's the sailor who goes away for 6 months at a time. If, as he's like, you know, setting off out the door to go on a 6 month, you know, business venture, he says, I want you to know when I come back, nothing doing unless you say you're sorry or resolve what the matter is. So then, even though anyways, he's gone for 6 months, of course, it's not relevant, he's not around, it doesn't matter. The clock starts ticking then, and his penalties, as well as we'll describe later on in the Mishnah, start accruing from that point. Okay, now, ad emasaihu poches, like how low can you go? How much can be deducted from her ksuba? Ad keneged ksubasa, until the whole ksuba is totally diminished down to zero. Now, what we're actually referring to are 3 of the 4 potential components that she has when she brings the marriage, meaning ikr ksuba, that first 200 zuz, that's for sure included. Tosefes ksuba, if he promised her not 200, but an extra 200, so 400, that extra amount also is included. The nichse son barzel, the property she brings in, literally that iron sheep, but the point is, she brings in the flock or the whatever it is, the piece of real estate, and at the time of marriage, the husband does like a formal like appraisal and says, you know, that flock of sheep is worth $1 million. So then, and she gets that $1 million payout when she went on death or divorce, regardless of what happens to the value of the flock itself. So the idea is that she gave it to him. She gave the flock and he's promised the money. So now the point is that promise of that money, the $1 million, can be now deducted at the rate of 1 dinar a day, 7 a week. In contrast, she also has the nichse malug, the usufruct property. That's property that really is hers. You know, she had the villa from her father in Tuscany, and she, while they're married, he could rent it out and get the rent and use that for the family budget or whatever the story is. But on divorce, she doesn't get cash. She gets her villa back, her item back that she brought in. So that never was given to him, and therefore, says Tanakama, while her ketubah can run down to zero, he would have no claim on the villa. That's off limits because it was never handed over to him in the first place. That's not written in the ksuba, that would be going to him. Rabbi Yossi Omer, La Olam Hu Poches V'Holech, it keeps on going past that point. Shema Tipo La Yerushim Makum Acher, maybe she'll get something from somewhere else, like inheritance, and then Gova Hemena, he, the husband, will be able to also collect from that inheritance as well, so therefore the penalty against her keeps on accruing. So really, Rabbi Yossi is arguing on 2 points. First of all, he's arguing, he's saying that unlike the Tanakama, he says that the Nichse Malug, the usufruct property, is also going to be deducted and become his. So the penalty keeps on accruing past the total amount promised in the Ksuba. And more than that, it actually can run into negative numbers. It can suck up her Ksuba and everything she has and keep on going. She has like an IOU to him, because the idea is if later on she would inherit something, that would also go to the husband. So the clock really is ticking for a long, long time. V'chein, the same principle applies in the other direction. We're talking about him instead of her. Hamored al ishto, if a man rebels against his wife, again, it means that he's withholding physical intimacy, which he's not allowed to do. Now, we're going to talk about penalties, but remember, first of all, the man's allowed to divorce his wife and pay her ksuba and get on with things. He doesn't want to divorce her. He wants to essentially keep on feeding her and providing for her, but he's withholding this physical intimacy because of whatever reason. So that's not acceptable. First of all, he violates an Isser Doraisa, right? The Pasuk itself says, Vo nasa lo yigra, he can't withhold her ona, her time. That being the case, he's already over a lav. But in addition, he's going to be penalized. And his penalty is, Mosifin la al ksubasa, her ksuba gets added to, Shlosha dinarim b'shabbos, 3 dinar per week. Why 3 dinar? So the idea is, the Gemara speaks out that he suffers more than she if he's the one who's on the receiving end of this weapon, and that in the case he's accruing like the penalty is more for him, so he's getting 1 instead of a half. She is getting a half a dinar a day, and that 6 days a week. We're not doing, since he's adding money and like giving money, if you will, to Ksuba. So Chazal didn't think it was appropriate to have it accruing on Shabbos also, because like it's like. Was getting close to the idea of receiving money on Shabbos, which we're not allowed to do. And therefore, it's just 6 days a week, not including Shabbos, half a dinar a day. Okay? And that will accrue to her benefit if ultimately they don't resolve things and he ends up divorcing her or dying. Rabbi Omer Shlosha Trapakikin. I don't know what this word actually is. Again, it's the same as word before. I have no idea the etymology or what it means in English. It's a coin, again, which is 4 times... higher in silver content than the dinar that the Tanakhama held, so the penalty is 4 times larger, contributa, both for him and for her. Fine. As far as the Halacha Lemaisa goes, the Gemara already says this isn't how it's done. So even in Gemara times, we say that subsequent to this mission, we bring another Braisa, which says they had a different technique. Instead of using financial inducements, they used social pressure, and they essentially would, for 4 weeks running, announce in the shul that he or she is being a moret or moretess, and that humiliation, the public humiliation, was hoped to induce them to resolve their matters and get on with life. And if after 4 weeks that didn't do it, so then already they went to the divorce stage. And right away, that's how the Gemara discusses it. You probably never seen that happen in shul nowadays, so I wouldn't say that's halacha lemaisa, although the Shulchan Aruch does bring such a thing. I think halacha lemaisa is really beyond the scope of this shiur here.